15, Deuteronomy chapter number 15. It was in Genesis this morning, Deuteronomy now, and so I'm going to stick with the Old Testament this morning and tonight. Most of you know that we went to a youth conference past week, and usually at our youth conference, I think there's about 14 different either messages or breakout sessions that are given in a 2.5 to 3 day period. So it is a lot of fun. It is a lot of interesting teaching and preaching, but there's a lot there. So it's both spiritually minded things and also an encouragement to kids. Voice is struggling a little bit because they cheer a lot while they're there too. Plus, I'm hoping that's what it is. Hoping that I'm not getting sick, but that's the thought there that goes along with my voice is might be a little raspy tonight. So I think it's going to be okay though. And the reason why I mentioned the youth conference is because this was one of the messages. Actually, I can't tell you what all the points of the message was, but this was a passage of scripture that they spoke about. And as I was sitting, the Lord kind of spoke to my heart about preaching this tonight, and I thought it was good. I don't think I've ever preached out this passage before. I've studied it. I've looked at it before as the thoughts that are behind it, and also, obviously read through it a number of times. But the title of tonight's message is Choosing to Be a Servant for a Lifetime. Choosing to Be a Servant for a Lifetime. It's this is in the law, and it's the idea that once a servant serves for 6 years, a Hebrew servant. If you go back and look in the book of Exodus, a person can sell themselves into slavery. Then after serving for 6 years or at the year of Jubilee, they would be set free from that. But they had a choice. Their choice was that they could stay and still be a servant. You say, why in the world would someone want to stay and be a servant? And you think, well, maybe it's because of the fact that that they wouldn't have anything anyway, so they'd be back in bondage anyway, so they might as well. But according to this passage of Scripture, it actually things would be returned to them and they would leave. They would be able to receive things, too, from the person they've been serving for all those years. So why in the world would someone choose to be a servant? I think some people ask that in their Christian lives. Why in the world would somebody choose to serve God? What's the benefit behind it? There are so many other options. There's so many other things that a person can do. Why would they choose to be a servant? And it's the same reason why someone would stay with their master. It's because of the compassion and love that's been shown. I think about the story about Jesus, and it says in Philippians 2, 5 through 7, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took on the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So he chose to be. There was no things that he owed to somebody. He wasn't forced to do it. He did it because he loved, and he was willing to take on that form of a servant. And we're okay with that when we hear that's God. And there was this great need, and there was only he could do it. Of course, he's God. He's going to do that. He loves us. But the verse that gets me, and the verse I think is overlooked very often, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God. He says, I want you to think the same way, have the same type of mindset. And, over and over in the New Testament, people called themselves James 1:1, James, a servant of God. Titus 1:1, Paul, a servant of God. And that was just not the only passage where Paul said it. Jude 1:1. Well, I guess it's only Jude 1 because there's only one chapter. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. Over in the scriptures, I'm choosing to be a servant. I'm choosing to be a servant. I'm choosing to be a servant. God is not going to force anyone to love him. God is not going to force anyone to serve him. God is not going to force anyone to love him, and God is not going to force anyone to serve him. It's done out of a heart of love. And when you come to this passage of Scripture, it's an interesting thought, and I don't believe tonight's message is going to be super long, but I want you to ask yourself this question. Am I choosing to be a servant? And, servants, and we could talk about what servitude looks like. Servants means they're doing the will of the master. Servants means that they're putting the master's needs before themselves. If we had a servant, and there's different explanations, and we're not going to go through all that, but I think we have an idea what a servant is, and some of those passages is referring to being a bond slave, to being completely indebted to them. But here, this servant had served his time, paid his price, and he says, I still want to stay with the master I have. Let's look here in Deuteronomy chapter 15. Let's look in verse 12. The Bible says, and if thy brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee, and serve thee 6 years, then in the seventh year thou shalt let him go free from thee. He was released from his position as a servant. And when thou sendest him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. Thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock, and out of thy floor, and out of thy winepress. Of that wherewith the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, thou shalt give unto him. So not only is he allowed to leave, the master is supposed to furnish something to him, it says in verse 14, and it's supposed to be liberally. So he's not even just going out empty-handed. He says in verse 13, thou shalt not let him go away empty. It's something that you're not supposed to let him leave empty. If he signs up to stay as a servant, not only is he missing his freedom, he's missing these things that would have been given to him. That would be a big thing to go up. Give up the freedom a person has. And then he continues on. Verse number 15. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing today. So remember what you used to be as a slave, as a servant. And you remember when you were taken out of the land of Egypt, and he even talks about how the Lord thy God redeemed thee. This is a picture of that. He says, you need to leave. And when you left, what did you have? You didn't have much to your hand, but you spoiled the Egyptians. You left with much. You had much to receive. And he says, I want you to remember that. Don't ever forget who your Lord and Savior is. Don't ever forget what you were beforehand and the bondage you were in and where you would still be if it wasn't for God. Still be in Egypt. Maybe the nation would have been wiped out by then because they were trying to get rid of all the boys. I don't know. But this is where you would have been, but you're not there, and here's the reason why. Because God redeemed you. And he said, remember that. Verse 16. And it shall be, if he say unto thee, I will not go away from thee, because he loveth thee, and thine house, because he is well with thee, then thou shalt take it all, and thrust it through his ear unto the door. And he shall be thy servant forever. And also unto thy maidservant, thou shalt do likewise. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that tonight you would speak to people's hearts. I know you've spoken to my heart in this passage, whether it was last week for a few moments, or times before, or even now while studying. Lord, I want to choose to be a servant of Christ. I want to be a servant of God. I want to be a servant because of the love and compassion you show me, because of the work that needs to be done. But Lord, because you're no better place to be than a servant of Jesus Christ. Help us tonight to walk away saying, I'm choosing. No one's forcing me to. I'm choosing to be a servant because of the compassion that was shown to me. I love him because he first loved me. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first point is the consideration for this Hebrew servant. The consideration for the Hebrew servant. We explained it already a little bit. If you find it back there in verse number 12, if thy brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee and serve thee 6 years, then in the seventh year thou shalt let him go free from thee. So here's the idea. It's a consideration for the Hebrew servant. They served in the 6 years, and in the seventh year they were able to be sent free. They were not just sent out with a shirt on their back, but instead they were supposed to provide for them liberally. There is a consideration that is made for this servant. And if you sit there and you think about it, who wouldn't want that? The person who loves this master. The person who over the years has fallen in love with working and serving the master. So you see that consideration, but that consideration makes a choice. The choice of the Hebrew servant. If you're looking at the law from a Christian standpoint, we're servants by choice. And that's what it's saying here. He says, look, you're supposed to furnish him liberally out of thy flock. You're supposed to take care of him, not just give him a little liberally. He's not supposed to go away empty. He's telling him all these things, reminding him of what they were like in Egypt, now God had taken care of them. But there's a choice in verse 16. And it shall be, if he say unto thee, I will not go away from thee, because he loveth thee, and thine house, because he was well with thee. So because the master had treated him so well, he said, I made this decision. My decision is that I am going to choose to be a servant of Jesus Christ. I am going to choose to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's saying, I'm going to choose to serve my master. And I want to apply it to our hearts today. Because, I mean, really, what's a Hebrew servant thousands of years ago? What do we learn today? We have a choice each every day when we get up. Are we going to be a servant of Jesus Christ? You say, well, of course I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. What else would I be a servant of? Well, it's important to remember that in Romans chapter 6, the Bible tells us we're a servant of something. It even says in Romans 6:16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So what the Bible says there, and this is one of those passages of scriptures we like to sit aside and say, I don't want to think about that. There's no way. When I choose not to serve God, doesn't mean that I'm a servant of sin, but that's what the scripture says. We choose who we want to obey. Know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. So if you're not obeying the Lord, you're not obeying God, but instead you're obeying your flesh, that means you're obeying the devil. And we don't like that. We want to shut that off and say, no, I can have my little bit of sin. I can do what I want. I can have my way. God's just going to have to deal with it like we talked about this morning. But that's not what the scripture presents. It's that each and every day we get up and we choose and say, I see what God has done for me, how he has redeemed me, how he has saved me, and all the benefits like we talked about in Sunday school this morning, all the blessings I have. Because of that, I'm going to respond, he is worthy of my service. He is worthy of me to be called a servant of Jesus Christ. So I am choosing each and every day, I'm going to serve the Lord. Because I know the option is, if I'm not serving the Lord, then the one that I am serving is the devil. Like I said, that's a tough thing to think about. But the reality is, who are we serving today? God does not force any for us to love him. God does not force us to serve him. We serve him by a choice. We say, I love my master. He is good to me. He takes care of all my needs. I enjoy serving him. This is the best place I can be. I want to be not only his servant, I want to be his servant for life. And that's when they made that choice. You see what happened in verse 17. It says, then thou shalt take an awl and thrust it through his ear unto the door, and he shall be thy servant forever. And also unto thy maidservant thou shalt do likewise. Last, I think it was Thursday night, the guy had actually, it was Wednesday night. The guy had what he called similar to an awl. He had out this little sledgehammer, and he called one of the kids up front, and he had him there, and he brought him over to the corner, and he pretended to, you know, bang into that, and it was right there, and there was a metal thing, and it went ding, and all the kids, obviously, he didn't actually put the hole through his ear. But when that hole went through his ear, there was a golden ring many times, oftentimes, that was put in there, and that would be a representation that I am a servant, and I am a servant for life. And what we come to this realization is, am I really a servant of Jesus Christ? Do I put his desires above my desires? There would no sense having someone who was a servant that's not doing your will. No sense is somebody having a servant that puts his needs before the master's needs. It just doesn't make any sense. Why have someone who's only going to be working on their own time and for their own selves? Why be taking care of somebody who is just taking care of themselves? I think it's in the book of Luke. It talks about how the servant's out in the field and he comes in and the master, is he going to go feed himself before he feeds the master? No, he's going to go take care of the master and then he's going to take care of himself. Why is that? Because that's the servant's responsibilities. And are we about the master's business? There's a compassion that had been shown to him. And he comes to this point and he says, I will not go away from thee because he loveth thee and thine house. He has loved him. And because he has loved him and because he has shown compassion to them, he says, there is no better life for me than that of a servant of Jesus Christ. I think it needs to be acknowledged once again. The issue is not whether or not I'm going to be a servant or not. The issue is, who am I serving, Jesus or Satan? Jesus said that no man can serve two masters, for either he will love the one and hate the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You're not going to be able to serve two different things. You might want to examine your life today and say, does Jesus reign in my heart? Does he reign in my life? Or am I being ruled by my flesh? We see there's many people today that are ruled by their passions. Looked at that this morning with the story of Cain. He was passionate. What he believed. He thought he was right. He says, God, you should accept my sacrifice. And if you do not accept my sacrifice, God, I'm going to be angry with you. It's wrong. It becomes, his countenance drops. Not only does his countenance drop, he becomes wroth. And we talk about how that opens up the door for sin and greater sins. And if we are ruled by our passions, that means that we're ruled by our flesh, which means that we're ruled by Satan. And we need to be careful ourselves. What am I going to be a servant of? Who am I going to be a servant of? Am I a servant of Jesus Christ? Then you see what it says in verse 17. Then thou shalt take an awl and thrust it through his ear unto the door, and he shall be thy servant forever. I don't know about you. I've never, ever had my ears pierced. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Right? I know there are some young ladies that get their ears pierced, probably the majority, and there's a few that are tentative because of the fact they think it's going to hurt, all those other things. But this doesn't sound very pretty, does it? That they're going to take a hammer and take an awl and just kind of put a hole. And you sit there and you read it. It says, thrust it through his ear unto the door. There, it's not just, you know, the little thing that does that for those girls getting their ears pierced. They're thrusting it to a door. I mean, that's painful. It hurts. Now, why would somebody put that? So he is setting aside the fact that I get to have my freedom, setting aside that I'm going to be treated liberally by my master and be giving a good amount so I can start off, and then put by the fact that I am going to actually have to go through pain and suffering in order to show that I want to be a servant for a lifetime. And why would he do that? It's because he loves his master. So why in the world would somebody be willing to give up what they call, quote, unquote, their liberty and their rights? Why would somebody say, I need to follow a guideline, I need to follow a book, I need to follow his word, I need to listen to my master? Why would they say that? And why would they miss the chance of having some things that maybe the world says, hey, you need to have. You could have this. If you're not following the Lord, you can have this and you can have that. And you, believe me, it's all fool's gold. Because serving Jesus Christ is so much more, and he gives us so much more. But that's the thought that's got to be taken into consideration. I'm leaving, 7 years are up. I get my freedom. I get to do things my way. I'm actually going to receive things for this, and I don't have to deal with the pain and suffering, because that's where you come to the next spot. There's pain and suffering with serving the Lord. There's persecutions, as we looked at in Sunday school this morning. What did Paul say? He says, hey, that your strength is made perfect in my weakness. God said, hey, my grace is sufficient. Then what did he say he did? He actually takes pleasure in distresses. He takes pleasures in necessities. He takes pleasure in persecution. He takes pleasure in infirmities. He takes pleasure in all those things in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And he went through that, and we looked at that this morning. There is pain and suffering that goes along with being a servant for Jesus Christ. So why would he do it? It's because he loves his master. So you say, why in the world should I do these things? It's because we love our master. And that's when you have Paul writing, Paul, servant of Jesus Christ. Jude writing, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had made a choice. They had fallen in love so much with their Lord and so much with their Savior, and they were so thankful for all the things he had done for them, how he had showed compassion on them, how he has taken care of them, the consideration that was given. Now here's your choice. Am I going to serve the Lord? Am I a servant of Jesus Christ? There was compassion that was given. There's a consideration to have. I could have the world and it's what it has to offer, or I can have what God has to offer. I can do things in my way, and we saw what happened with Cain this morning, how that is, he went from an angry heart to a murderous heart. He went from the fact that he wasn't willing to shed the blood of a lamb or a sheep, but he's willing to shed the blood of his own brother. That's dangerous to live in that way in serving sin, because it is a tough, tough taskmaster. You're never going to be able to pay it all the way. It's going to continually keep on draining you and draining you. And then you have a Savior. You have a God that has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He offers so much more. There's the plans. Who am I going to serve? Am I going to serve myself and my flesh and the devil? Or am I going to serve God? That's when I'm looking at this passage of Scripture. I was encouraged when I heard the guy spoke. And I think the guy, some of his things was a compassion, talking about the compassion that a master had to show to the individual, the love that had took care of him, how well he had taken care of him, for him to be willing to give up his freedom, for him to be willing to give up those things that were going to be given liberally, for him to make this choice. The master had to have been really good to him. If you go back to the book of Exodus, it talks about sometimes the master would give a woman that was from his servants also, and if they got married, that he could leave, but the girl would stay behind. That might be part of the reason why he stayed. But that's not the scripture that's given there. It's there, I love him, and that's what he says in verse 16. He says, and I, it shall be if he say unto thee, I will not go away from thee because he loveth thee and thine house because he is well with thee. I'm wondering tonight, are we going to make that choice? See how good I love him. I love his house, or I love his kingdom. I love his ministry. It's always been well with me as a servant. So I'm signing up to be a servant of his tonight. And I sat there and I listened, and the young people did a good job listening. As I said, 14 different sessions in 2.5 days is a little bit intimidating when you get there. The kids did well listening, and you're just like, well, they're only 10, 15, 20-minute sessions. No, they can expand out to over an hour sometimes to some of the preaching and the invitations and things like that. But he's sitting there talking to a group of young people. Choose to be a servant. Choose to be a servant. Choose to be a servant. And they're young. They don't even probably understand all. Thinking to myself, man, God has been so good to me. He's taken care of me all these years. And every time I've served and every time I've done, he's been there and he's helped me. He's strengthened me. Like we talked about in Sunday school, I don't need to be fearful. I don't need to be dismayed. I don't need all those things. I got a master and a servant who takes good care of me. All I had to do is be about my master's interests. All I had to be doing is out there doing his will. I need to remember that it's not about my will, it's his will. And Jesus showed us a perfect example of that in the garden when he says, not my will, but thine will. Jesus showed us that he took on the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. And he was even found in the fashion as a man. He humbled himself. He came obedient unto death, even death of the cross. It was painful. Instead of him being pierced with his ear. Now, I have no idea where his ear was pierced to the ear back then, back to the doorpost. We think maybe here. Some people think up here. Jesus' hands were pierced. His feet were pierced. His side was with a spear. I mean, all those things happen. Why is that? Because to serve the Lord, sometimes it's going to hurt. But he still came. He gave us that example. Why would he do that? He loved his Father. And he loved us. Why would Jesus leave heaven? It's because he loved us. He wanted to do the will of his Father. So why would an individual of the right mind be willing to give up their time? Come to church 4 times a week. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. That's crazy to some people. Why would they be willing to give up a portion of portion of their money? Craziness in some people's mind. Why would they even give up a Saturday to go out and do outreach? Why in the world would they come and stuff bags? Or why in the world would they spend a week next week with a bunch of kids they don't even know? It's because they love their master. That's the reason. And we're not doing this to build a kingdom here. We're doing this to do something to have our lives count for the master. And if the master says, I want you to go and I want you to do it, and I want you to do it this way, it's not our job as a servant to say, I think I could do it better. I think I, like Cain did today, he went the way of Cain. Yeah, I think you're worthy of a sacrifice, but I don't think you're worthy of doing it your way. So tonight, are you choosing to be a servant? God's not going to make anyone love him. God's not going to force anyone to serve him. But when we consider how good he's been to us, what other choice do we have than say, the best thing I can do with my life is to be a servant. And it's a beautiful picture here about this servant who does not want to leave his household. He says, no, the master has been too good to me. I trust my master. I want to serve my master. It is well with me, as it talks about and at the end of verse number 16, because he is well with thee. It's the relationship I want. I'm willing to give up my freedom. I'm willing to give up the things that I could have outside the master's house. I'm willing to even go through a little suffering. That's how much I love my master. Tonight, I don't really think it's asking too much. I don't really even think it's giving up that much. You look at this example, this guy's maybe missing out because he's going to get stuff and he can always have his freedom. But what are we giving up? The world, the flesh, the devil. Yes,
ease sometime, comfort sometimes. But we're going to be a servant of someone. We're going to be a servant of something. And it says that. Know ye not that whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey. I remember studying that the first time I saw that. It was when I was an assistant pastor here, and I was thinking, that can't be right. You mean when I stop serving the Lord, that means I'm serving the devil? It's who I yield myself to. I'm the person I am a servant to. That's who I'm obeying. That's who I'm yielding myself to. And I was like, I don't like that. And when I consider that, it's humbling. And that's when I consider how good God's been to me, I just raise my hand and say, hey, I want to be a servant. Take me over to the doorpost. Take the awl and the thing and hook me up. I don't plan on getting an earring. Don't worry. Because of what it represents today. But even if there's a little bit of pain, even if there's a little bit of suffering, it's nothing compared to what Jesus did for us. Amen. He gave us that example. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. He didn't think it was wrong or robbery that he would come to this world. He didn't think it was wrong or asking too much to take on the form of a servant. And we're going to look at that passage probably next month as we're going through the book of Philippians on Wednesday nights. And it's a fantastic passage to how there's a step down, 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 down. Just a servant and the servant's heart. Why would he do that? Because he loved us and he loved his Father. Why should we do that? It means I'm going to have to give something up. Yes, it does. Servants usually do. Servants don't get to have their own interests at heart. Servants always doing the work of their master. That's their job. Well, I don't want to. What are you giving up? Something that's probably not good for you anyway. The master always has your best interests at heart. Always desires. You serve a master as good and kind and loving. Tonight, are you choosing to be a servant of Jesus Christ? The question is,